All right, Joe, we'll say good morning. Let us begin. So I want to begin by thanking our sponsors. Thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Cheshvan, Yoel and Sarah Kelman, in appreciation of all of the learning, Shiurim, within the Kehillah, the week of learning sponsors, an anonymous sponsor in the merit of a Refuah Shleima of Rachel Yehudis Bas Tova Gittel, and our Dafyomi sponsors for today, Bobby and Lisi Lilienfeld, in memory of Bobby's grandmother, Florence Lilienfeld, Freda Sura Bas Yaakov Zichron Livracha. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, all of those who require a refuah should have one together with Kol Chole Yisrael. The neshamas should have an aliyah, the families and the chama. And above with that, let us begin. So we are picking up, today's daf is Ayin Gimel 73. And we are picking up on Ayin Beis Amud Beis 72b, Tan Rabbanan. So if you remember again, yesterday we were introduced to the really fascinating case of brothers who live in the same chatzar as their father. So if you remember again, the Mishnah explained, they all eat, they're supported at their father's table. So we saw the Gemara qualified that statement a little bit, but the Gemara ultimately explained that since they go ahead and live in separate places, therefore, again, even though they're all eating at their father's table, they are considered to be like separate independent residents. And therefore, each of them must go ahead and contribute to the Eruv. To which the Gemara said, you see from here that what? That when establishing, how do you define a domicile? Domicile is defined ultimately by where you sleep. Because we'll say this would be the paradigmatic case. Because here the brothers are eating in one place. They're eating at the father's home. They're sleeping in a different place in their own home. So which determines their residence? Now, obviously, the nafkamina, the practical difference is quite dramatic. Because we'll say if their place of residence is defined by their father's home, then what? That effectively means that what? Everyone lives in the same house. If everyone lives in the same house, there's no need for Eruv. I mean, if there are other residents, there's a need for Eruv, but each brother doesn't have to independently participate in the Eruv. If, however, residence is defined by where you sleep, then each brother is indeed a separate and distinct domicile. So the Gemara goes on with this discussion about what defines a domicile. So Tan Rabbanan, here we go, says the Gemara. Mish yesh lo beis sharach sadra, if someone has a gatehouse, umir pases, or a portico, umir pases b'chatzar chavero, hare ze ein oser alav. So we'll say, so if a person goes ahead and has one of these structures, beis sharach sadra, which seems like a gatehouse, umir pases, a portico that seems to have some walls attached to it, so we'll say these do not qualify as a domicile. On the other hand, beis hateven, beis habakar, beis haitzim, beis haosros, if a person has a storehouse for straw, or a stable, I don't know if we quote unquote, I guess call it a barn for cows, right? Beis habakar, beis haitzim, a storehouse for wood, beis haotzros, or any other storehouse. And a person lives in one of these structures, hareza oser alav. These constitute a domicile. Rabbi Huda says, eino oser ela makom dira bilvad. Rabbi Huda says, Rabbi Osai, that in order for a structure to go ahead and aser, Rabbi Osai, when we say aser, aser means that it would prohibit carrying without an Eruv. So Rabbi Huda says, in order for a structure to qualify as a domicile, it has to be somewhere that is fit for someone to live and to actually have someone live there. Amar Rabbi Huda, Ma'aseh b'ben Nafcha, shahilu chamish chatzeros b'usha. There was one story of Benafcha. Benafcha had five different courtyards in Usha. And what happens? The episode came before the Chacham. Va'amru, eino oser, ela beis dira bilvad. And they said, Benafcha, he only goes ahead and asers beis dira. What does that mean? Beis dira sagadaitcha, ela ima makom dira. So it's very interesting. What the Gemara now is suggesting is that halacha lemaisa, the only time a residence causes an Eruv issue is when halacha lemaisa, someone lives there. But if you own property in a chatzar, but you do not live there, then enachinami, that does not cause a problem. I will say, that's a major point. Because again, this Ben Nafcha owned five properties. Obviously, he didn't live simultaneously in five properties. So the shayla is, he lives in one property for Shabbos. Does he have to participate in the other Eruvs? To which the Chacham seemed to paskin, the answer to that was no. Now, Bosei, the Gemara goes full circle. By the way, my makom dira, What defines your residence? Rav Amar, Rav says, Makom Pita, where you eat. Where you eat is where you live. Tap line, Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph 73a. Shmuel Amar Makom Lina. Shmuel says, where you sleep. So we'll say, this is the fundamental machlokes. What defines where you live? Is it where you eat or is it where you sleep? So the Gemara says, Meisvei Haroim Vakayotzin Vaborgin and Vishomre Peros. So we'll say, Ron are shepherds. Kaitzonin are people. So we'll say, they used to go ahead and dry figs. The way you would dry figs is you would spread them out in a field. So Kaitzonin are the people who would go ahead and watch. They were the watchmen, the fig watchmen. Borginin are the individuals who live in huts. So the Gemara says, Shomrei Peros are the fruit watchmen, the orchard watchmen. So we'll say, Bizman Shedarkon Lolin Ba'ir Harein Ka'anchir. So we'll say, listen to this. So these individuals obviously would be out in the fields, right? All this was happening outside of the city in the fields. So the Shaila is, for Shabbos purposes, from where do we measure the Tchum of these individuals? So Bizman Shedarkon Lolin Ba'ir. So when during the night these individuals normally come into the city and sleep in the city, then halacha lemaisa, they are treated like the residents of the city, and therefore they would get the tchum of the city. Bizman shedarkin lolin basode yeshlan apayim l'chol ruach. I will say when they sleep in the fields, right in their place of work, when they sleep in the fields, then halacha lemaisa they get 2,000 amos from wherever their field domicile is. So we'll say, what do you see from there? It appears that is a proof to Shmuel that domicile is defined by where you sleep. By where you sleep? To which the Gemara says, no. Hasam anan sahadi, timematu lehu rifta hasam tfei nechalu. We'll say it's different. The only reason why sometimes these individuals go back into the city is because there's not food readily available for them in the fields. But in Achinami, if people were to bring them food in the fields, it is clear that they would much prefer that. Therefore, Rabbi say, in reality, it makes sense to define their domicile, ultimately, again, by their places in the field, because that's really where they need to be. It's only because they have to come into the city for food that they do so. Amar Rav Yosef, lo shmi li hashmaisa. So Yosef, I never heard this halacha. Rabbi say, now understand why this is a dramatic statement. Rashi says, Lo shmili hashmaisa, do amarav makom pita gorim. So we'll say, so what Rav Yosef was saying is, I never heard that Rav held that the place where you eat defines your damasan. Rabbi say, Rashi says, remember, Rav Yosef chala v'shachach tamudo. The Gemara states also that Rav Yosef became ill, and as a result of his illness, he forgot all of his learning. V'haya Abaye tamido maskiro. And Abaye, his devoted disciple, would remind him. So we'll say, it's very often you have these statements of, Rav Yosef said, oh, I never heard this before. And Abaye says, yes, Rebbe, you heard it, and actually you taught it to us. It's actually a very moving thing, right? About a Rebbe who lost his learning, and then the Talmud becomes there. We'll say, you see this. Is how often do we see this again in the world where, parents who raise children, then their role reversals as parents get older and the children become the caretakers of the parent. That is part of the cycle of life. That those who give you sometimes become the very ones who need from you. Sometimes the parents who give you life over time require you to help sustain them in life. Sometimes the very Rebbe who gave you your Torah leans on you ultimately again to give him back that Torah. It's a very, very moving relationship. So Amar Abaye. So Abaye says to him, At Amrit Nihilon, Vaha Amrit. He said, Rebbe, you actually taught us this. You taught us this, and you taught us this halacha in the following context. Now, I will say, it's very interesting over here also, the way Abaye relates to Rav Yosef, right? You would have thought that if Rav Yosef forgot his learning, then what? Like Abaye would be a little bit more gentle. But this always happens. Abaye says, Rebbe, you know this, and you taught it to us. You taught it to us. So I'll say, so just also a fascinating idea sometimes in how to deal with people in crisis. Sometimes, you know, there's an indirect approach, sometimes the direct approach. So what Abai was really doing was also rebuilding Rav Yosef's confidence. You have to imagine, again, for Rav Yosef, who was one of the Gedolei Hadar, to not know a statement of Rav was a very dramatic thing. So Rav Yosef, Rebbe, you know this. You know this. You taught it to us. Here's where you taught it to us. So listen to this. Va'aha ahamrit nihilan. Ha'achin shayhochan al shulchan avien. So Rebbe, you taught it to us in the following context. Brothers who were eating on their father's table, v'yishinim bivaseihem, but yet they slept in their own home. They slept in their own home. Tzichin erev l'chol echad ve'echad. Every brother needs to participate in his own erev. V'amrinan l'chol, and you said, shmamina makom lina goreim. Rabbi, when you taught this to us, we said to you, oh, what do you see from here? That it is where you sleep, which defines your domicile. Va'amrit lana law, and Rabbi, you then commented to us, Am Rabbi Huda Marav, the mekavli pras shaninu. That case was, which is a statement of our Mishnah, is actually a case where the brothers aren't eating in their father's home, but rather, again, they are receiving support in their father's home. They're receiving support, so they get a stipend in their father's home. So they're actually eating and sleeping in their home, just being supported by their father. So it's not really a raya. So we'll say this is the machlokis Rav and Shmuel. What defines domicile? Rav says pita, where you eat. Shmuel says lina, where you sleep. Tan Rabbanon. Mishi yesh lo chamesh nashim mekablos prasmi ba'alehen. So we'll say if a person, the man has five wives. And he is, not five lives, five wives, right? He's you heard it right. Right? Five wives, and he's supporting all of them. He's supporting all of them. Or the Gemara says, V'chamisha avadim, mekablin pras mirabeim. Or he has five servants, and he's supporting all of those servants. Now, the case over here is, Reuven has five wives, but they're five different homes, five different residences. So they're all being supported by Reuven, but they live in five different locations. Five servants, all being supported by Reuven, five different locations. It's using the webcam on the laptop. I'm not sure why. So the Gemara says, "Mekav bas Rabbein, Rabbi Huda ben Beseira, Matir ben Hashem, Oser ba'avadim." So Rabbi Huda ben Beseira ultimately, again, goes ahead and is Matir ben Hashem. So we'll say Matir ben Hashem means Rabbi Huda ben Beseira says that halacha lemaisa. So the women are considered to be like one with their husband. Which you're both saying, the logic is that a couple is a unit. And in this case, five couples, right? Or five wives, right? So a wife follows after her husband. Meaning when I say follow after me, they're a unit. So even if the wife doesn't live with her husband, we reckon them as one entity. So therefore, each woman does not need an independent area of contribution, for she is counted together with her husband. So the Gemara says, "Va'oser ba'avodim." However, avodim, servants, ultimately, again, are not considered to be like one unit with their master. And therefore, each servant who lives in a different home will require a separate independent contribution. Rabbi Huda ben Bava, Matir ben Bava, the most interesting thing about saying, Rabbi Huda ben Bava says just the opposite. He says servants are considered to be, thank you, like one unit, ultimately again with their master, but wives are considered to be independent entities. And therefore, halacha lemaaseh, each servant is included in the area of contribution of his master, but each wife who lives in a different domicile must go ahead and contribute independently to the Eruv. Amarav, my time to Rabbi Huda ben Bava. What's Rabbi Huda ben Bava's logic that ultimately, again, a servant is considered to be at one with his master? So this is very interesting. Dichsiv, vidaniel bisra malka. We'll say this second, because the pasuk says that Daniel was in the service of the king. So we'll say this is really fascinating. So what Rashi is pointing out, bisra malka, b'chom makum shuchashole bisra malka. Daniel, wherever he was always considered to be in the service of the Persian king. There was not a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a reference to the Persian king. So the idea over here is you see that a servant, wherever he is always considered to be in the service of his master. Which I will say is such an incredible idea, because by Daniel, okay, it's by the Persian king. But Lamaisa, again, by us who are avodim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it also teaches you about what the nature of avdus is. An Eved is always engaged with his master. An Eved is always, that relationship is ever present. Every other relationship sometimes could be on, sometimes could be off, but an Eved, Gemara says, always considered to be in the active service of his master. Such an incredible Moser. So Pshita, Bein Eitzel Avav Kidamra. So we'll say again. So a father and a son relationship we already spoke about. Right, we already spoke about that. I both say so again. That's our Mishnah. That's our Mishnah. There's a little bit of a machlokes exactly what happens with the father and son. But one thing is clear, which is there's definitely a connection, especially if the father is supporting the son. So if the father is supporting the son, there's a connection between the two. And then depending on the son's living arrangements and eating arrangements, will determine his area of contribution. However, Isha Eitzel Baila, Ve'eved Eitzel Rabo, Plukta Rabbi Yehuda ben Bezer, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. So we'll say, so a woman's relationship with her husband if they live in two different homes, or an Eved's relationship with his master if they live in two different homes, that's a machlokas. Talmud Eitzel Rabo Mai. We'll say, what about a Talmud and a Rebbe? Interesting case. What happens if a Talmud and a Rebbe live in the same chatzar, right? So the teacher and the student live in the same chatzar. In this case, the student is being supported by the Rebbe. So we'll say, so remember, all of these cases presuppose support, because support, right, money is the bond which binds, or the bind that binds, right? So what happens if the Rebbe and student living in the same chaser, and halacha lemaaseh, so the Rebbe supporting the Talmud? What happens there? So we'll say, meaning we're asking, gabe erev, my tashma, dirav be Rebbe Chiya Amar, Rav, who was a student of Rebbe Chiya's yeshiva, said, anu ein anu tzvichin la'arev, sharana sumchin al shulchano Rebbe Chiya. So Rav said, apparently, Rav lived in the same chatzar as Rabbi Chiya, and he said to the other Talmidim, we don't have to independently participate in the Eruv, for we are supported at the table of Rabbi Chiya. We're supported at the table. Rabbi Chiya be Rabbi Amar, Rabbi Chiya, when he was a student in the yeshiva, Rabbi, he said, we don't have to participate in the Eruv, for we are supported at the table of Rabbi. So Rabbi say, so it appears to be from here that a Talmud who lives in the same chatzar as his Rebbe and is supported at the table of his Rebbe need not independently participate in the Eruv. We'll see all this halacha l'maisa. So we actually saw this case before. In this case, Rabbi say, you have the following. Imagine we all go ahead, we're all the residents of the same chatzar. Our chatzar is chatzar A. We make an Eruv together. Now it happens to be, we would now like to make a joint Eruv with Chatzar B. So you could carry in between the two Chatzeros. So that's the case. Chamisha shekavos Eruvim, kishom olichin as Eruvim l'makom ha'acher, Eruv echad l'kulon, otzvichin Eruv l'chol echad v'echad. So we'll say, when Chatzar A wants to make an Eruv with Chatzar B, how is that done? Does that require a new collection from each of the residents of Chatzar A? Or could one person represent Chatzar A, take an Erev to Chatzar B, and that's all? So the Gemara says, I of Amar Lei, Erev Echa L'Kulon. So he responded, one Erev is off. You need not make another collection from all of the residents of Chatzar A to bring that to Chatzar B. Rather, one person could act on behalf of Chatzar A, bring food to Chatzar B, and Shalom Al Yisrael. I v'ha ochin, d'chi gavu damu. Rabbi say, but isn't the case of brothers who live together in a chatzar? Brothers live together in a chatzar. Isn't that similar to a case of an Erev that's already been collected from a group? And yet again, the Mishnah indicates that halacha l'maaseh, they have to each go ahead and participate in their own Erev. V'katari tzvichin Erev l'chol echad v'echad. Hacham ayaskin on what's the case? Kigon di'ika d'yurin bahadayu. But say the case in the Mishnah where we require the brothers. Remember again, back to the Mishnah's case, where brothers are living in their own homes, but are supported by their father. When is it that we require each of the brothers to participate in the Eruv? When there are other people living in the Chatzar. Demigo dahani asri, hani nami asri. Because I will say, once the presence of other residents goes ahead and prohibits on the brothers, brothers now have to make an Eruv, so the brothers will now prohibit on each other as well. Hachinai mistabra, this would appear to be clear. Diktani imasai, when is this so? Bizman shemolichin es eruvim b'makom acher. But say, when is it that the brothers have to participate in the eruv? When the eruv itself is being kept at the home of one of the other residents. Avalem haya eruvin ba etzlam. But if the eruv is being kept in one of the brothers' homes or the father's home, o she'in diur niman b'chatzar, or there's no one else living in the chatzar except the fathers and the brothers, ein tzvichin la'arev, then no eruv would be necessary at all. Shma mino. Indeed, see that this is correct. Good. So I just want to point out the fundamental machlokes between Rav and Shmuel as to ultimately, again, what defines domicile. Is it where you eat or is it where you sleep? That machlokes is still unresolved. We're going to see the halacha. We'll just wait till we get to the Mishnah. Then we'll close out the halacha l'maisa on this sugya. But what we clearly see is that any time there is an element of support, support binds people together. And even if they are living in separate residences, if father is supporting sons, husband is supporting wives, master is supporting servants, Rebbe supporting Talmud, that creates a bond between these individuals, which depending on the circumstances may obviate the need for independent Eruv collections. So, first, enter the first wide line, Ayin Gimel Alaf. Again, we'll see the Halacha L'maisa in just a bit. So, Boi Minei Rav Chiya Bar Avi Min Rav Sheshes. Bnei Rav da achli nama bebago va'asu ubaisi bebei Rav. So let's listen to this. What about the yeshiva students who go ahead and have their meals bebago? Rashi says bago was beis ushpiz bebeka. This was an inn in the valley. So they would go ahead and they would have their meals. We'll say essentially at an off-site location at an inn in the valley. Va'asu ubaisi bebei Rav, but they would come back to sleep in yeshiva. So we'll say here we go again. So the students of the yeshiva would have their meals. There was no dining room in the yeshiva. We'll say you know the first time that there was really a dining room in the yeshiva was Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin, was Rav Meir Shapira. Rav Meir Shapira, so really what Bachrim used to do before, and they would have what they call teg. They would go ahead and they would have families. They'd be set up with families in their respective towns, and they would go out for meals. The Lublina Rav, Rav Meir Shapira, Zecher Tzadik Kalish Levracha, understood that if you make the Bachrim go out, first of all, again, often they were set up with families who were destitute and had very little for themselves. So obviously the Bachrim didn't want to eat if they knew they were taken from a family. You know, so the distractions that it has to learn. So Meir Shapira, in his yeshiva, Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin, which I also have to understand was like the Waldorf of his time, that he made a dining room. Not only did he make a dining room, but the Bachrim ate on china. They ate on china, and they had fresh linens. And there were things that were, you know, everybody complains about yeshiva food. I don't know where you go. So I'll say, remember, at least there is yeshiva food. That was unheard of. So just pointing out, that was the practice for many, many, many generations. There was no dining room in a yeshiva. Talmidim ate in local people's homes. So here, the Bnei Yeshiva, they're eating their meals at an inn in the valley. But they're coming to go and sleep in yeshiva. So the Gemara says, "Ki mashchin lo tchuma mi bei rav mashchin lo o mi baga mashchin lo." So when we measure their tchum, from where do we measure their tchum? Should we measure their tchum ultimately again from the inn in which they eat, or should we measure it from the yeshiva in which they sleep? Amar lei mashchin lo mi bei rav. We measure their tchum from the yeshiva. I v'hari nosin es eruva besoch apayim amo va'asi ubayis bebesei. Here's the problem with that. We'll say, let's take the paradigmatic example of Erev Tchumen. What does Erev Tchumen do? We'll say, what does it do? You take food, and what do? You deposit it somewhere within your current 2,000 amas. And we'll say, what do we do then? We measure your new Tchum from where? From your food. Why do we measure your new Tchum from your food? Because what do we assume? That where your food is where your home is. Right, that your food establishes your domicile. So I don't think I'll say that. That's the paradigmatic example. That's how Erev Tchumen works. You put food somewhere, that becomes your new residence. We now measure a new Tchum from that new residence. So isn't that clear? Isn't that abundantly clear? That home is where your food is. Yet you're telling me here by the yeshiva students that they're going to measure the Tchum from where they're sleeping. To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Bahu anansadi ubahada anansadi. So we'll say the Gemara says, we could explain the different circumstances of both these cases. Watch this. Bahu Anan Sahadi, Di Mistrali Hasan Nechale. So we'll say again, when a person goes ahead and puts their Erev food somewhere in Erev Shabbos, a person actually would be okay sleeping out there by the food that night. Why? Because we'll say, obviously, if a person is placing an Erev, Erev Tchumen, they have to travel somewhere on Shabbos. That's what it means. I have to go to some new location. So because I have to go to some new location, look, if I had to sleep out, you know, out there with my food, and that would be okay, because that would be a head start on my journey. Therefore, again, Abu Sa'i, home is where you place your food. But in the case of the yeshiva students, both say the yeshiva students don't want to go to the inn in the valley. What would they much prefer? They much prefer a dining room, right? They'd much prefer to have their food at the yeshiva, because the yeshiva is their primary home. It's just because at the end of the day, they can't go ahead and get the food in the yeshiva, that they have to go out. But it's clear that their primary residence in their eyes, ultimately, again, is the yeshiva. Good. We're supposed to say, it's actually an interesting case. So if a father and a son, or for that matter, a Talmud and a Rebbe, live in the same chatzar. You're asking with two chatzar. I'll see in just a moment. Are they reckoned as two individuals or as a single entity? So we'll say, Rashi actually points out that this is going to have ramifications for a case of one chatzar inside of another chatzar, or rather than staying inside, it really means one chatzar behind another chatzar. Suppose if you can imagine, you have chatzar A. Chatzar A really opens up to the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Behind Chatzar A is Chatzar B. But of course, the only way to get to the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim from Chatzar B is how? To walk through Chatzar A. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says over here, Av ubno, harav v'tamido ki rabim damu, linyin shtei chatzero zulif nimizu, udrisas regala pnimis alechitzona, utram b'masnisin em hayu shal yechidim shiachet dar b'pnimis, davi regal hamutaris m'kumas. So we're going to leave this case for a little bit. What the Gemara is asking over here is in cases where you need a rabbin, it has to be something that is considered to be public, in order to go ahead and create Erev issues. So do a father and his son create a public scenario? Does a Rav and his Talmud create a public scenario? Okay, yechidim damu. I'm sorry. So the Gemara says, "Kirabim damu." Are they considered to be like rabbim? Okay, yechidim damu. Tzrichin erev. Oh, ain't tzrichin erev. So we'll say similarly again. Ultimately, if a father, if a father and a son or Rebbe and a Talmud live in a chatzar together, just the two of them, do they require an erev or not? The Gemara says, "Mavoi shalahen nitar b'lechi v'koro, in nitar b'lechi v'kero." So, say if a father and a son live in a mavoi together, is there mavoi permitted with a lechi or a koro, vertical beam or a horizontal beam, or not? So, let's say Rashi says over here, "Nitar b'lechi v'koro, the kamalon ein mavoi nitir b'lechi v'koro ad shu batim v'chatzir suchim." We'll say a mavoi can only be permitted with a lechi and a koro, only if multiple homes and multiple chatzeros open up into it. So the shaila is, if the father, let's say, lives on a chatzer on one side, a son lives on a chatzer on the other side, is that called multiple chatzeros? Or because their father and son is only called one chatzer? So Amarlei, Tinisua, Av ubeno harav v'tamido, Bisman she'in iman diurin harin ki yichidim v'in tzichan. So we'll say, first of all, father and a son, a rav and a talmud, when no one else lives with them, there is no eruv that is necessary. They are considered to be like one entity. The Gemara says, umavui shalahen nitar belechi v'kora. But halacha lamaisa, interestingly enough, their mavui, Rebosai, is considered, however, when they live in two separate chatzeros that open up into the mavui, that is considered to be like two different chatzeros, and therefore halacha lemaisa can be nitr, can be permitted with lechi and a kora. So on one hand, the Gemara says that if a father and son live together in a chatzer, halacha lemaisa, again, they do not prohibit each other. They are looked at as one entity, and therefore no eruv is necessary. Yet their chatzeros would be separate and distinct, so as to allow the mavoi to be permitted with a lechi and a kora. So we'll say, let's just close out this sugya now for just a minute. So remember, again, halacha lemaisa, how do we paskin in terms of what defines domicile? Is it where you eat, or ultimately, again, is it where you sleep? So we'll say, here the Shulchan Aruch paskins. Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Shin Ayin Sif Hey. So in Shin Ayin Sif Hey. Sorry. Shin Ayin Sif Hey. Shulchan Aruch writes as follows. Misha Ocha B'Makom Echad. V'yashir Makom Echad. If someone goes out and eats in one place but sleeps in another place, Makom Achilaso Hu Ha'ikar. I will say home is where you eat. Home is where you eat. Visham hu oser. Hilchach ha'achin she'ochlin b'beis avien, v'yishenim b'vaseihem, einon osrin. So therefore we'll say brothers who live in their own homes in the chatzar, but again, in the case of the Mishnah, but are supported by their father and eat in their father's home, do not need to make an independent aid of contribution. V'nosin lahem pras, v'ochlin b'vateihem, osrin. But this is very interesting. But if the father supports them, gives them an allowance, but they each eat in their own homes, they are treated like separate entities. Okay, so then the Shulchan goes on. So we'll say, halacha lemaisa, the Gemara paskins like Rav, that where you eat ultimately again defines your domicile. See, interestingly enough, it appears that the support piece itself is not really the ikar. That even if halacha lemaisa, again, a person is supported by a father or by a parent or by a Rebbe for that matter, halacha lemaisa, everything depends on where it is that you have your meals. If you have your meals, that's where your home is, and that's ultimately, again, that'll determine for tchum purposes, but that'll also determine for eruv contribution purposes. I'll just read you this other halacha. This is in Simin Tof Tes, halacha hey, because it's also quite interesting. Shulchan Aruch Paskin is again about a father and a son. We'll leave this. We'll leave the father and son piece for just a little bit later, actually, when we get to the next mission. So we'll say, but that is halacha l'maisa. At least on a basic level, we paskin like Rav. Domicile is defined by where you eat. Good. Chamesh chatzeres. We'll say Mishnah Baram Avayin Gimel. Chamesh chatzeres psuchos zulazu upsuchos l'mavoy. So we'll say again, here you have a picture of this in Rashi. Simple case. You have five chatzeres, each chatzer side by side. The chatzeros each open up into each other, but also open up into a mavui, open up into a shared alleyway. So what's the halacha? So the Gemara says, Erevu bechatzeros, v'neshtatvu b'mavui, mutarn bechatzeros, v'asur mavui. So we'll say, remember again, if the chatzeros, if there was an Erev chatzeros that was made, but halacha l'maisa, we'll say, remember, Erev chatzeros in this context can mean two things. Each chatzer made an Erev, but all of the chatzeros also joined in an Erev as well. So therefore, again, you can carry from any chatzer to the next. See if they made an Erev chatzeros, but they did not make a shituf muvaos. So they made an Erev, but didn't make a shituf. What's the halacha? Mutarim b'chatzeros ha'asar mavoi. They are permitted to carry in the chatzeros, but it is asar to carry in the mavoi. Now, both said this goes back to yesterday's daf. Rashi says, why is this? Asar mavoi. Remember again, we learned this halacha l'maisa yesterday, that again, an Eruv does not obviate the need for a shituf. See, where there was an Eruv chatzeros, you still require shitufei, or shituf muvaos, shituf mavoi, shitufei muvaos. Good. Amud Beis. V'mnishtatfu b'mavoi, what happens if they made a shituf? So again, they joined in a partnership for the mavoi. But what happens if they also joined in a shit of muvos? Then mutaren kan vekan. So we'll say again, if they made an erev chatzeros and they made a shit of muvos, then shalom al Yisrael. Everybody's happy because this way they could carry in the chatzeros and they could also carry in the mavui. Erevu bechatzeros v'yishtatfu mavos. So we'll listen to this. Let's say so they did what they were supposed to do. They did an erev chatzeros. They did a shit of muvos. The shachach echad mibnei chatzer v'lo irev. I'll say one of the members of the chatzar forgot to participate in the Erev. So what do we do? Mutarin kan vekan. Ultimately, again, he's mutar. Mutar, so we'll see exactly what this means. So the Gemara will say, what this sounds like over here is, if they forgot to participate in the Erev chatzeros, but the shituf is still intact. So it sounds like over here, what it's saying is, that the shituf can be relied on to be matir not just the mavui, but the chatzeros as well, which of course contradicts what we just said before. Because in the beginning of the Mishnah, we just said that shituf muvaos is not enough to take care of erev chatzeros, and they separate erev chatzeros. So we'll resolve it in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, So say, what happens if one of the members of the Mavoi forgot to participate in the sheet of Muvaos? What's the halacha? Mutarin bechatzeros va'asurin b'mavoi. So you are mutar, so you are permitted to carry in the chatzeros, but it is usher to carry in the mavoi. Sha'mavoi v'chatzeros kechatzer lebatim. Because we both say the mavoi is to the chatzeros, what the homes are, what the chatzer is to the homes. Okay, so we'll say, so there's a lot to analyze over here. And the problem is a lot of what appear to be contradictory statements. Here we go. Money. So we'll say, whose opinion does the Mishnah reflect? So money. Re'emir hi da'amar, ba'inan erev u ba'inan shitov. So we'll say, our Gemara seems to reflect the view of Rabbi Meir, who holds that halacha l'maisa, you require an Erev and you require a Shituf. You require both of these items. So also this goes back to yesterday's daf, that an Erev by itself is not going to work, a Shituf by itself is not going to work, but even if you have a Shituf Muvos, you still require an Erev Chatzeros. What's this Gemara says? Ema Mitzias, yet look at the middle of the Mishnah, middle case. Im Nishtatfu B'mavoi Mutar Kan V'Kan. If they made a Shituf Muvos, that is enough to permit everybody in the Mavui and in the Chaseros. Asan Rabbanan the Amari Bechadasagi. We'll say, now that makes it sound like Shituf Muvaos is enough even without Erev Chaseros. To which the Gemara says, Lokasha, it's not a contradiction. I'm sorry. Asan Rabbanan the Amari Bechadasagi. Halokasha. V'im Nishtatfu Nami Kamar. We'll say, what it means is not only if you made a Shituf, but also if you made a Shituf. If you also made a Shituf, in addition to the Erev Chatzeros, then it is mutar in both places. I am a sefer. Look at the end of the Mishnah. So we'll say, all we're just trying to figure out over here is whose opinion is reflected in the Mishnah. Remember again, going back to yesterday, where the Machlokes Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanon. The Rabbanon held that you don't need both the Shituf and Erev Chatzeros. One could take care of everything. Rabbi Meir says, no, you need both. Even if you have a Shituf Muvos, you still require an Erev Chatzeros. Remember again, what was Rabbi Meir's logic? What was his logic? His logic is, Shema Yishkechu HaTinokos. Because if all we do is rely on a Shituf, but we don't have an Erev Chatzeros, the children in the Chatzer will never see any type of collection, and the concept of Erev will be forgotten. So there was trying to figure out who to attribute the Mishnah to. So next, Amos Sefer, look at the end of the Mishnah. If you made an Erev Chatzeros and a Shituf in the Mavui, and one of the members of the Chatzer forgot to participate in the Erev Chatzeros, so what's the halacha? Mutarim kan v'kan. Ultimately, again, they're permitted in the Chatzer, permitted in the Mavui. So what's the case? Hechidami. Idolo batel. Let's suppose if the guy who forgot to participate in the Erev Chatzeros was not mevatel his Roshos, amai mutarim. Then why is everyone else mutar? We'll say again, non-participation in the Eruv really prohibits everyone from carrying inside of the Chatzer. So if a guy forgot to participate in the Eruv Chatzeros and he was not mevatel his Roshos, why is everyone else permitted? Elepshita de batel. Otherwise, they must be talking about the case that the guy who went ahead and didn't participate in the Eruv was mevatel his Roshos. That's why everyone else is permitted. So the Gemara says, Emo Sevia, look at the end of the Mishnah. Shachar acham ibnei mavoi v'lo nishtatfu. If one of the members of the mavoi forgot to participate in the Shituf, mutarin bechatzeros v'asurin b'mavoi. So we'll say, ultimately, again, everyone is permitted to carry in their respective chatzeros, because they have an Erev chatzeros, but because someone forgot to participate in the Shituf, no one is permitted to carry in the mavui. But I don't understand why. V'idabatil amai asrun mavui. We'll say, if you're setting this up as a case where the person who forgot to participate in the shituf is mavatil his rishos, if he's mavatil his rishos, then that should allow everyone else to carry in the mavui. V'chitema kasavri b'meir in b'doshus mavui. So maybe you'll say, interesting. So we'll say, what's fascinating is the Gemara is presupposing that the concept of bitul rishos applies in a mavui. So we'll say, which is something which we've just never encountered, we just never discussed it before. Up until now, whenever we spoke about Bittul Roshos always is, where is it taking place? So we'll say, where is it taking place? In a chatzer, right? So I forgot to participate in the Erev Chatzeros of my chatzer. What do? I yield my rights. I will say again, remember, actually, it's a machlokes beis shammai, so exactly what you do. Am I conveying my rights? That's beis shammai. Or I'm just being misalik. I'm just removing myself from the chatzar. I have no rights in the chatzar. We never saw that in a mavui. The Gemara just suggested that maybe there's a concept of bittel in a mavui, right? Which means I will say that, now remember, what does bittel in a mavui mean? I will say bittel in a mavui means a chatzar. A chatzar says we don't have rights in this mavui. That's a collective yielding, right? We don't have rights in this chatzar. So the Gemara says, well, maybe Rabbi Meir holds in bittel reshus mavui. But say maybe Rabbi Meir holds bittel reshus is only a din in a chatzar. There is no bittel reshus in a mavui. Is that so? The Gemara says, Vatanya, we learned shari bittel lochem reshuso. Yet Rabbi say ultimately again, we learned in the Brice elsewhere that again the lashon that was used was you can go ahead. Vatanya, we learned shari bittel lochem reshuso. The Rabbi say in the case, the Gemara is quoting over here that we saw in Samaches on the days. The verbiage that was used is you could carry in the mavui. Why? Because he was mevatel his reshus, which seems to indicate to us that bittel reshus can occur in a mavui as well. Devi Rabbi Meir, elapshita delo batel. Rather, we'll say, so you have to set up the case in the Mishnah as where the individual who forgot to participate in the Eruv did not yield his reshus. 1 second. So we'll say, so that would be the safer case. So we'll say, I'm sorry, let me go and clarify. So in the case in the Mishnah that said that if one of the members of the Mavui forgot to participate in the Shituf, so what's the halacha? No one could carry in the Mavui, but everyone could still carry in their respective chatzeros. And what's the case of Osai? The case is where the individual, or the chatzer, who forgot to participate in the Shituf was not mevatel their reshus. Now, if the seifa is the case, I mean, the seifa to a bottle, Reishon Ami Labatal. So we'll say if the end case of the Mishnah is the case where the people forgot to participate or not mevatel the reshus, therefore the earlier case should also be a situation of where the individual in the chatzar is not mevatel his reshus, yet halacha lemaisa said that the members of the chatzar could still carry. To which the Gemara says, Reishon Ami Labatal, Reish of the Sefer Rabbi Meir, Mitzias Rabbanon. Is it possible to say that the Reish and the Sefer of the Mishnah, the Rabban, are Rabbi Meir, and the middle case is the Rabban? So we don't like that, because generally, again, we don't like to split up attribution of a Mishnah. Rather, the Gemara says, Kul Rabbi Meir he. On the entire case, the entire Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. The time of my, so we'll say, what's the logic in the case? I'm Rabbi Meir, but in an Erev, I'm sorry, the time of my, I'm Rabbi Meir, but in an Erev, or by in a Shetav. But we'll say, in general, this is what we just said yesterday's daf. Why does Rabbi Meir hold that you require both an Eruv and both a Shituf? Why is that? So the Gemara says, in order shalavishkoach toras Eruv minatinokos. So we established this before, this is very important. Rabbi, if you were to back Rabbi Meir into a court, it's Rabbi Meir, really? If you make a Shituf muvos, is an Eruv chatzero still necessary? Which I will say, the logic of this is very profound. If you've already joined all of the chatzers, right, all of the chatzeros, into a joint entity for purposes of carrying of a mavui, shouldn't that automatically cover your Erev chatzeros? So if you ask Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir, come on, tell me the truth. Does the Shituf Muvaos cover your Erev chatzeros? Rabbi Meir would say, yes, like the Rabbanam. But again, like we said before, but what is Rabbi Meir's concern? Rabbi Meir's concern was shelo lishkach toras erev minatinokos. His concern, I will say, is that shituf mavos is something that almost no one sees. The children don't see it. So the concern is that the children, next generation, will forget. If all we do is shituf mavos, people will forget about the concept of erev. Therefore, Rabbi Meir holds that halacha lemaisa, you have to do a localized erev in the chatzar, in order to go ahead and in order that the children should not forget about the concept of Erev. So we'll say, now watch this. V'halcha, kevan deruba Erevu, lo mishtacha. So we'll say, this is incredible. Rameh will say that halacha lemaisa, in a case where there was, listen to this, there was a sheet of Mavos, everyone in the chatzar joined in the Erev except for one guy. We are not going to prohibit the members of the Eruv from going ahead, the members of the Chatzar, from going ahead and carrying in their Chatzar because of this one guy. Why? Because the majority of people, in fact, went ahead and participated in the Eruv. In other words, we'll say, the Emir's whole logic as to why you can't rely on an Eruv Chatzar, on a Shituf Muvos, is because the children won't see. But really, he holds that when there is a shituf, that covers the chatzer. Therefore, the Gemara is suggesting in the case where they made a shituf, they made an eruv, but one guy didn't participate in the eruv, we're not going to prohibit everyone else from carrying in the chatzer because of this one guy, because technically the chatzer is covered by the shituf, and the children do see the eruv because everyone participated in the eruv. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Rav lo tani psucho zilazu. So what's that? Just quickly, Rav's version, he didn't have the chatzeros opening up to one another. V'chinam Rav Kahana, Rav lo tani psucho zulazu. So I'll say ultimately again, in Rav's version, the chatzeros were not opening up. They were all opening up to the mavui, but they were not opening up to each other. Igedam Rav Kahana gufei lo tani psucho zulazu. Rav Kahana himself did not go ahead and understand this as a case of opening up to one another. I'm going to bother Rav Yosef. My time of the law, kasani psucho zuluzu. Why don't you have this as a case of the chateros opening up one to the other? Kasavar, kol shitov she'en machnisa umotzi derech psachim b'mavui, lav shmei shitov. Because we'll see, here's something very interesting. With this, we'll pick this up tomorrow, Mirat Hashem, that in order for a shitov to work, we'll say, the shitov has to come out, it has to emerge from the chateros into the mavui. But if the shitov is not brought out from the chatzeros into the mavui, then what? Then halacha lemaisa, the shituf won't work. Therefore, we'll say the concern is if you set this up as a case where the chatzeros open up into each other, it's possible to merge the chatzeros with the mavui without ever bringing the shituf out from the chatzer into the mavui. Therefore, they choose to set it up as a case where the chatzeros don't open up into each other, which requires, ultimately, again, the shituf to be brought out from the chatzer into the mavui. This notion that for the shituf to work, it must be brought out into the chatzer. Mirat Hashem will continue with tomorrow. But I will say, I just want to point out this dramatic idea by Rabbi Meir, which again, we'll have to see if it's halacha l'maaseh or not, but even Rabbi Meir, who holds that you can't rely on a shituf instead of an eruv, that even when there's a shituf, requires an eruv, apparently again, the Gemara says that he will agree that in a case where one person forgot to participate in the eruv, that one person's non-participation will not prohibit everyone else. Since in that case there was an eruv made in the chatzer, the children do see it, one person didn't participate, in that case, you could rely on the shituf to be mafter the chatzer. All right, we'll pick up over here tomorrow, Mirat Hashem, with the Eisvei. Shkoyach.